Like, oh no, these are her allies. It's the rabbit shaped guy who goes. I hate you, Star Fox. I hate you so much. You shouldn't be Star Fox. You should be like, Star Fox. I hate you so much.
That's when Greg closes Centauri's eyes and says that he's passed on to the next dimension.
Yeah.
Closing the fake eyes, by the way. These are not real eyes.
He's got his fake face on.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Dying with a fake face
Why?
On.
The greater good.
The greater good.
The greater good. He said I was 56 when really I'm 54. No, honey. I brought you back for the greater good. But it never hurts to be rich. Fade to black. Thanks, the plotters, for joining us for watching this movie.
Is that where it ends? I don't think that's where it ends.
No, we have three more pages of notes.
I only have two, but maybe I'm not nearly as detailed as you.
No, your notes are a lot nicer. Mine are just like, why didn't he just jump? And then it like, takes up like half the page. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Greg says, see you in the next dimension, old friend.
Like the fifth dimension, he says, something like that.
The fifth dimension?
I thought it was just the next dimension.
Yeah. He was talking about multiple dimensions at some point, and I thought this was when he was like, the fifth dimension.
These guys are old friends. Please make a note. They have known each other for a really long time. They probably know a lot about each other's species biology. Please make a note.
But hey, let's cut back to Earth. When freaking Beta, like, is like, he hears something in this bedroom late at night, and he, like, smacks his ear, and then he's like, this isn't working. So he just takes his ever-loving head off and puts it on the table. And yeah. His little brother's like,
And he's like, this is a nightmare, Lewis. Go back to sleep. Oh, also, like, the sound that was coming out, or that we were hearing, was, like, the weirdest sound for a moth I had ever heard.
So it sounded alien as it was like smacking into a light bulb, right?
But it was like staticky as well.
It sounded super duper alien, and so you kind of see why he was like freaking out about it.
My only really note on this scene was poor Lewis.
My note was Mombi. Hey, check it out. Head 32.
If you'd like to know that reference, please go back to our Return to Oz episode, like nigh on 3.5 to 18 decades ago. Okay, so here are my couple notes about this that I did not write down, but I will shoot to you right now. He takes his head off, scares his brother back to going to sleep. He then, as he turns his head around to like pull like a gear or whatever the out of his ear, he sees a light shoot across the sky. He's like, oh no, another alien showed up to kill this guy, but this guy isn't me. He's over there. Right. Okay. So he turns his head but it's not attached to his body. So he like physically turns his head and then he's like, oh no. And my TikTok brain was like, oh no. Oh no. Oh no, 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 no. Oh, but also he grabs the bridge of his nose with his unconnected hands and like rubs his forehead with his other unconnected hand. And I was like, all right, you got to give it up for a pretty good gag. Like, that's dumb, but like, it's pretty good.
If they ever make the second Starfighter, my recommendation is they have a headless like robot scene, and then someone puts their hand in front of the headless face, like a face palm.
Oh, yeah. I would have probably been more applaudy about it if it was a face palm. But then when Jen and I were watching it, the movie crashed. And so whereas normally we'll watch a movie and I get a little bored because I have a very short attention span, and I ask like, how much longer is this movie, right? It just crashed this time. We're 57 minutes in. And there's like 140 minutes. But there's only three more pages of notes.
Anyways.
Okay,
so my next note is just that I could do with an entire movie with Beta snarking at interacting with humanity. So it is at this point where we actually start seeing Beta interact with other people in the trailer park?
This is where it gets more intense. He starts doing it a lot more. And that's okay with me because, right. like, it's amazing.
So, like, he's helping the guy who runs the... And it's not the guy who runs the park. It's the guy who does the guy with the antenna. What's his name?
Oh, yeah.
Otis?
Yeah, Otis.
Okay, yeah, yeah, I got that right.
I only refer to him as the black guy from The Shining.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, and variations thereupon, it is not truly the actor.
Oh, no, 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 it's not. It's just that he's the magical black guy.
The magical, oh, yeah, you can't say the other
one. You going up to space, Doc?
Oh, I never talked about my son as a spaceman before. How did you know he was a spaceman?
My grandma used to say being good at video games was like a shining.
You like space ice cream, Doc? No, but Otis is a great character.
Yeah.
Maybe the best one in the movie.
I'm just saying, I don't think we're, like, representing him fairly.
He's just, okay, so here's the problem, is that he's the smiling, happy, unfettered guy. But also, this is a smiling, happy, unfettered movie for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that it's problematic when it comes to a person of color, because, like,
right,
he deserved to be more than that.
So the actor who plays Otis is Vernon Washington. I just want to put his name out there because...
He's so sweet in this movie, and I don't want to diminish that, but also, like, no one really has a depth of character in this movie.
They give, like, little hints to depths of character, but they're all in service to the protagonist, and that's something that very much came out of the 80s.
He's a Mr. Fix-It. He is working at the diner at the top of the stairs at the front of the trailer park where the game is. But he's always encouraging. And mm-hmm. he's always thoughtful. And he's always kind.
Except for when fake Alex, aka Beta, is helping him with the antenna.
He's straight up... Okay, we aren't there
him,
yet.
Yeah.
He gets smacked in the head. Who's nice then?
Yeah, I know.
Like, hey, jerk face, maybe don't hit me with a metal rod. I don't think that's like... That shouldn't be the time you're kind.
This is probably the point where Alex is, like, getting into his, like, space gear. And they, like, do this whole, like, pan up from his legs up to his body.
I stared at his crotch the entire stupid time. And it's... Here's the thing, and I think it might be, and Jen, you can feel free to cut this out, but like, I look at butts and crotches and boobs, like, all the time. Like, a person walks in front of me, and I'm like, dude, dude, dude. And so if you're going to pan up from the ankles for a suit I'm sure you spent a lot of time designing,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to be like, dude.
My note on Alex entering the Gunstar and climbing up the ladder is... I didn't know there would be cake served on this flight.
Because when he's going, because when Alex is going up there, the camera is nicely positioned under his butt.
All of the costumes are very well fitted, you have to say. They mm-hmm. are, and maybe Madeline can speak to this, but like, in terms of like, tailorship, like, everything is on freaking point. But like, also, since everything's been blown up, my notes are like, oh, this one fancy ship survives. It's a better starfighter than, or whatever they call them. There's a specific name.
Gunstar, I think, is what Jen said, because I completely didn't have that put in my notes.
Oh, this one Gunstar is better than all the other Gunstars. It's like if Harry Potter walked in and they're like, we broke every wand like a chopstick, but you know what survived? This one very fancy wand
that no one has used before. This is a prototype, so you're going to take it on its maiden voyage.
But that's okay. Because of your extensive playing a video game, you're going to be real good at this. Okay, so here's the thing. I'm real good at Tetris. Pretty good, I would say. Mm-hmm. You might say I might be pretty good at Tetris, but every time there's a new iteration, like, I have to relearn the controllers.
Right.
Because they're different, right? And that's fine. They're a little similar, but not that similar.
But not in these Gunstars. These Gunstars have the exact same controllers as the arcade machine.
He's like, oh, so...
This just gives me a seat. Okay.
Okay, so Grindamir. Grundle.
Grundle.
Grumsmidlyunctus. Scrumdiddlyumptious bar. Our Goomba friend.
Grim? Grig.
Grig.
Okay. You messed me up there.
I knew his name was Grig. I just didn't want to say it right because he looks like a Goomba from Super Mario Brothers, the movie, which is one of my favorites. And you can fight me about it in the streets.
Are we going to ever do that one?
Oh, we might do that.
We should totally do that one.
I want to do that one. Okay. He's giving Alex the rundown. and like being like this button, and then and Alex is like, just like the game. And it's like, no shit, title of the movie, bud, right? Like, duh. I feel like certain like creatures should pop out and be like wagga 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 wagga, and he's like, oh my gosh, the enemies look exactly like like you should go down to the commissary and there's like a giant cherry and he can just be like ong 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 ong. Like, okay. Or I, hey, Jen, you should do the ribbit noise right now. Like oh no, these are our allies. It's the rabbit shaped guy who goes I hate you, Star Fox. I hate you so much. You shouldn't be Star Fox. You should be like Star Fox. I hate you so much.
You guys know what a killer feature is, right? The killer feature of this prototype is literally called the Death Blossom. It was at this point that Greg kind of talks about it, isn't it?
Oh, does he now?
He talks about it a little bit because it is...
Like, don't push that button. That button's the Death Blossom.
It is Chekhov's Death Blossom.
Yes, 100%. That's stupid Death Blossom. But also, this is where I actually wrote down a quote from Grig, because he's a fountain of beauty. He goes, death is a primitive concept. Battling evil in... Oh no, I wrote this all wrong.
Okay. I know the quote you're talking about. May I?
Yeah, please. Okay. Because like my notes are incomprehensible. Because okay. it was like death is the evil battling is that I prefer. I inserted part of it the wrong way. Like my notes are bad.
Okay, so what Greg is telling? So Alex is freaking out over the fact that like all of the people back at the base pretty much just died, and that's when Greg says, "Oh, death is a primitive." Blah, blah, blah.
Concept.
Death is a primitive concept. I prefer to think that they're all fighting evil in another dimension.
I prefer... Thank you. Now it makes sense. Okay. Death is a primitive concept. I prefer to think of them as battling evil in another dimension. You should not be allowed to be alone and write in cursive.
That's okay. I mean, you know, they don't teach cursive anymore, and I think it's because they want people to actually be able to read handwriting.
Did you know? I had a youth group kid, right?
Yeah, you told me about it, where they were like, why is this postcard in Spanish?
Honey, I don't know Spanish.
Do you remember what podcast you said that in? Because that was in a podcast episode.
Oh, that was a long time ago.
It was millennia ago.
Maybe have been like 2 years ago at this point.
So this is when Greg is doing... It's like this whole big tutorial for Alex about the...
It's the part of the walkthrough you want to skip on a video game.
Skip.
Cuts back to beta Alex and you're like, yep, hold on. Pause. Yeah.
Oh, and that's probably where my note comes in. I could do with an entire movie with beta snarky interacting with humanity. He's like trying to hold up the antenna for Otis. And he like starts smelling something and he looks behind and we get this POV shot of someone looking on to where he's at from a distance. Yeah. And he's like,
he's looking
like,
really hard at my notes when you said that. And when you said that, I was like, from a distance, we all look the same. Like the early 90s just came back real hard.
Yeah.
And is this another Zandozan assassin?
This is another assassin. And there's like, they have a very specific smell that, of course, Alex, with his robotic sensory, can go ahead and smell.
Are we skipping the part where he tries to bone a girl?
No. This is before it.
Yeah. This is precursor.
Yeah, because Maggie comes back and she's like, you know, she's got this little flower and she's like, oh, I'm so sorry for slapping you last night. And he was like, oh, no, that's totally okay, because I was the one who, you know, freaked out. And she's like putting the flower on his face and you could see how hard he is uninterested.
He's standing at the base of the trailer holding the pole for Otis.
Right.
Who's like doing the actual work. Who is Otis as a person?
Yes.
She distracts him. He smacks Otis in the face with the antenna. And he's like, hey, watch it down there. Which I would have been like, hey, f*** you.
Guy.
Keep an eye on me when you're holding the thing that's next to my face.
Right.
You jerk.
Right.
Otis deserves so much more.
I know. And so they kind of apologize. And at one point, Beta says.
So like Chicken Dude apologized. Yeah, Chicken like Dude Otis apologize. Doesn't get squat. Otis has to continue the manual labor.
That's true. But Maggie and Beta apologize. And Beta at one point says, do you smell something? And he's just like, and she's like, what? He's like, nothing.
Yeah, because he smells bad, guys.
Right.
And then don't we cut back to the spaceship? Because we're like zoot, zoot, zooting back and forth.
Yeah.
And then this is the part where Greg is like, I'll have it all figured out by the time we get to the frontier.
Oh, and then he's like, and then there's the alarms playing.
When are we going to get to the frontier?
Wah, 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 wah.
Now?
Yeah.
Oh, no, Greg, you dropped the ball. You're literally made out of rocks and you dropped the ball.
And so and as they get through the frontier's barrier, they actually see there's a carrier ship or a cargo ship that's going through. And so they're trying to hail it. And then the cargo ship just like speeds away. And Greg's like, oh, no, it's actually one of the bad guy's ships. You should totally shoot it down as a live target. And Alex is like, what?
Yeah. Okay. So here's the thing. Up until now, Alex hasn't killed anybody.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. He was like, whoa, live? Like, I have to actually kill someone?
This is where my notes are like, Alex, you're killing people.
This is the equivalent of driving through Mario Kart and then deciding, I'm going to take a drive now. After no experience driving before Mario Kart.
Just a hood rat doing hood rat shit.
It's just like blasting Womp Rats back on Tatooine.
And so they get into this chase after one of the baddies' ships, and so they go into like this asteroid, and like Greg's like, oh, you shouldn't, don't lose him in the asteroid. And so as they're like zooming through there, it's this nice little chase scene, and then they corner the bad guy at the very bottom or at the very end of the cave, and then Greg's like saying fire, and Alex eventually lines up the shot and he shoots, and that's when the other ship explodes. And then Greg's like, oh, good job, son, you did it. And Alex is like, I did it. You did it. You almost got me killed. And I was like, at this point, like, you can see a lot of hesitation in Alex in this scene. He is very, like, not entirely sure. And for the entire time, I was like, are you hesitating because you don't want to kill someone? And it turns out, no, that's not it. He's hesitating because of the fact that he was afraid of dying himself. And I was like, no, I mean, it's an 80s film. They're not going to go that deep into it. I get it. But still, I had my
12
hopes.
Inches of kiddie pool, Lydia. We're already at level 8 inches.
You can drown in 2 inches, I think.
Yeah, but you have to really try.
My question is, why did they go to the effort of digitally rendering a rock for them to fly through? I can understand with the ships and how that might save a little bit of money down the road. But the rock looks not like a rock.
It's very computer graphics. Very.
I want to know. Okay, first of all, like 2 ticks ago, my applaud moment happened. Children, they won this by playing hide and seek. Right? Isn't it dumb? Isn't it dumb? It is dumb. It is dumb. It is dumb. It was done better in Star Wars, but they still almost got eaten by the mouth they were hiding in. Like, you can't tell me.
Well, and like after they escaped from it, they did get caught. No, they got caught at Cloud City. Never mind. I don't know my Star Wars. I'm a fake geek girl.
All right. Here's what you need to know.
We're never getting done with this recording.
We're never ending this. This is going on forever.
Never ending podcast.
Here's what I pose to you, mother. I know you like a solid thing for yourself to bleep later on. How about this? Alex is a nerd because he knows Starfighter. Alex Beta is a geek because he's just living life and coping as he goes. He's trying real hard, but there's a lot of stuff he's not familiar with that he has to counter. He's got a base knowledge. He got all that information off of Alex to start with. But now he, as a super virgin robot, he's got to traverse the social, sexual landscape of late teenagerdom. As if he knows what he's doing.
Oh, yeah, sure.
If that's not geek land, I don't know what is. Like... he's a geek. Alex is a nerd. Fight me.
I would agree with that.
Oh, okay, good. Don't fight me. We agree. Okay.
Though I still feel that the topic is contentious.
We can fight about it later. We'll probably do it again.
So, yeah, I felt like you could very easily get the feeling from Beta that he is not into Maggie at all. At all.
Like, there's no way for him to be.
Right. Because he's kind of knows he's short-lived.
Okay, so he's back in the truck. they're out at a campfire now, right?
No, this is like before they hit the campfire. It like shoots back to night where Maggie's like, oh, like the previous scene where they were talking is Maggie's like, so you're still coming to Silver Lake, right? Or Star Lake? And he's like, yeah, I'll totally be there. And then it cuts back to them in the truck at night. And I think at some point we do see the assassin, like see a cop car go by during the day. And at night we see the assassin like, no, at some point at night we do see the assassin kind of like take on the visage of a human being, because that's what the assassins do. But at the at night in the back of the truck, all of these like, you know, late teens in the 80s are like talking about jokes, and we always you hit it at the very end, which everybody's like, oh, but not Beta. Beta's just sort of like, you know, trying to like be on guard because there's an assassin after him and he still has to anyways. And so
they do cut back to Alex and Greg. Greg, old Greg?
Greg, yeah.
Old Greg. And Greg. And Greg is like, maybe there is a last starfighter. Which is like a terrible line, and yeah. I'm mad about it. Well, cut back to them, and now they're at a campfire, and like, Alex Beta doesn't know Beta Alex, let's be fair.
You see like them roll, you see two people rolling underneath a blanket, and then Maggie just throws the blanket off like, oh, this is just so horrible. And he's like, I'm sorry, I've never had to do this before.
Yeah, and so what he ends up doing is like tuning in to, I don't know what the acceptable social distance for like
eavesdropping?
No, for fooling around near your friends, because I have infringed upon it and I have exponentially like spaced us, and it's terrible all the time, right? So like, I don't know, but like he looks across and it feels like 15 feet. Mm-hmm. And 15 feet as my old self is like, not enough feet.
So would you say, because like, aren't they like up higher than they are, than Alex, than Beta and Maggie are? Aren't they like kind of up on a ridge making out their friends?
I don't think so. Okay. It feels like they're across the way from each other at a campfire.
Okay.
But I don't think it's more than 15 feet, which is, again, not enough feet.
Right.
And so what Beta Alex starts doing is he's like, this is me gesturing like I'm adjusting my earphone. And he's all like, he starts listening to dude saying stuff, and he's just like, I didn't, it's so gross that I didn't write any of it down.
You're my Juliet. You're my muse.
So like I'm dead or I'm like fictitious.
Right. So like what
Juliet's fictitious too, but everybody's dead. What are you talking about?
But what Beta is doing, he's obviously not working it with Maggie, and she's just kind of like done, you know, make it out with him and everything, which makes sense. You know, it's not actually him. And I kind of like the contention between the two of them, because it's a little bit gross when women are cheated into like sexual relationships. And I think that's pretty good of this movie, is that like it's not cheating. Like Maggie definitely wants to make out, but Beta doesn't. Beta is not Alex, and she thinks she's making out with Alex.
This movie, and I will say better than any movie we have done thus far, mm-hmm. and it's been quite a few movies. Well, I'm going to say it. It does the best with consent.
Mm-hmm. Joe versus the Volcano did have some good, had one good consent scene.
Yeah,
but that, it's, like, it's also like far. Yeah.
Yeah. Like he just decided not to bang the girl. Like, this is, hey, one of us wants to bang, one of us doesn't. It gets awkward. Do we proceed to bang?
No. But Beta is still trying to like play up this personification of Alex.
But then like they get shot at and he's like, look.
I do want to, I don't mean to like cut you off.
No, that's okay, because there's a phrase that he uses that he's like, I don't get it. I don't get these.
Yeah.
Gland games.
Gland games. Yes.
That's up there. That's so dumb. I love it though. It's dumb. I love it. It's dumb.
Yeah.
I love it.
I do. It's like, I know I stated this earlier with another phrase that Beta uses. It's one of those things where this is up there with pelvic sorcery as far as like, you know.
Wait, which one was pelvic sorcery?
That's from Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one.
Oh.
Love it.
We haven't reviewed that.
We haven't.
So I didn't think of it as relevant. Yeah. Okay.
So, but I did also want to point out one thing is, as Beta is trying to like seduce Maggie, he's like listening into like one of these like Chad guys is saying, and the Chad guy is like, he's saying things like, you're my Juliet, you're my muse, you're my Venus. And,
yes, and then he says,
and then the Chad guy says, those other girls didn't mean anything to me. And he hears the lady saying, oh, you should just talk dirty to me. And he repeats it.
He goes, those other girls didn't mean anything to me. And Chick, whose name I now
Maggie.
Have, she's like, other girls?
And he's like,
rightfully so.
She glares at him first and he's like, do you want me to talk dirty to you now?
And he's like, look, I can't play any of these more gland games with you. Like, I'm not Alex. Yeah. I'm his like beta guy. And then the guy who's got him in the sights, as here's the thing you don't know. And I say you don't know, but just because I haven't said it yet. He's playing Cyrano de Bergerac. Well, he's playing the foil to Cyrano de Bergerac. And if you're young or unknowing of this, it is a mazillion years ago book about a guy with a funky nose who had all the right words and thusly tried to help his friend score with a chick that he was secretly in love with. But it doesn't fit here because Beta Alex doesn't care about Alex. He's just like, I'm trying to fill a role. And honey, I don't feel nothing for you. I'm just like, there are assassins coming for Alex because he's like the last starfighter. And I'm like in his place. And then he gets shot in the gut by the guy.
Yeah.
He gets shot in the gut.
And then his response is just like, see?
Like, dang it. Like... I love it when somebody is shot who's like, this is one of my favorite shirts.
Or they're just so put out or it's like super inconvenient.
Yeah, like it's not that they're physically wounded. It's just that they're put out. Yeah. They're like, oh, fudge.
Because they're not actually hurting. They're not actually feeling any pain.
Yeah. I mean, they're probably both. Beta Alex is not.
Right.
He's just done.
Right.
He's like, guys.
Well, there's a difference. Like the last assassin... So the last assassin that we dealt with shot Centauri, and he actually has this mournful scene. With Beta, it's all funny. And like at one point...
He's a slapstick guy a lot of the time.
The assassin like picks up and like he says... So the assassin comes over and he's like pointing his gun, and that's when he hears Beta say that he's not actually the real Alex. And he like perks up his ears and he's like, huh? And then he goes ahead and he shoots Alex after like there's like this exposure, which good shooting on the assassin. He didn't hit Maggie at all.
Points. They were laying on top of each other nearly.
Right. And then after the assassin makes a run for it, Beta just like you see this like squirt out of his stomach.
It's like blue goo. He's not a Klingon.
Right. And then he picks up and runs away. And I was just like, that's just like a man to squirt and leave. It was bad. It was bad.
I was taking a picture of my cat just now. And now the live photo is going to be like, squirt and leave. And Pitch is going to be like resting peacefully. I will tell people not to look at the live photo when I post that. But that is
live photo.
Oh,
so like, does it
on an Apple phone?
audio.
Yeah. So what happens is it takes like 24 frames or whatever 1 second or so is. And so like, I was like, oh, Pitch is like super cute right now. So I'm going to take a picture of that. And so then you're like squirt and leave just as I hit like go. And now that's going to live in infamy no matter how much Jen edits this.
It is my legacy that I leave to the world.
Oh,
a bad, bad ejaculation joke. Or excuse me, a bad joke.
Okay, applauders. You beautiful crew of weird, mismatched whatnots. You beautiful entities.
Patchwork, if you will.
Okay, so he jumps up. He's been shot in the gut. He's like, I gotta go after this guy.
And Maggie's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Tell me what's going on.
Guy boning the other chick on the other side of the fire is like, scratch the paint and you're dead.
Because Beta takes his truck and Maggie gets in the truck with
him. It's a beautiful red Ford looking number. So, don't talk. Drive. Right? He's driving down the road willy-nilly in a way that I never would. Right? Okay, so he's like, you need to get out. And Maggie climbs into the car. And he's like, don't do that. And she's like, I'm going to do that. And he's like, you really shouldn't. She's like, I'm going to do it anyway. Right? So then they're driving like super fast. I don't get this whole business because he's like, you need to jump out. And she's like, cool, cool, cool. Tight, tight, tight. And she jumps out of the car, rolls. And then he drives straight into a thing.
Do you remember what he drives into?
No.
He drives into the alien who's trying to send a message to the bad guys to say the real Alex isn't on the Earth.
Okay. Riddle me this, because this is what my notes say. Why didn't he jump? Wouldn't the car have been enough?
I don't know. I mean, there would have been enough momentum in it, maybe because of the fact that he's an alien robot. He doesn't understand how Earth vehicles work.
Also, okay. Are you ready for this? Because we are only one... and a half pages of notes away from being actually done with this. Okay. Why does the transmission to the wood people ship or whatever, why does it read like a ticker tape? Like, hey, when I send a text, you get like the whole text. Mostly it's like, hey, Lydia, we're recording today, but can we do it a half hour later? Because I still need a nap. Like, it's dumb, but you get the whole message. We are talking about the future, I assume. But
the future.
Well, maybe it's not the future. This is the past now.
The past. Maybe this is the present.
I don't know what's going on. Okay, but like, why? Why is he just like, the last starfighter is? The last starfighter is? The last starfighter is? And the guy behind him is like, he's alive! He's dead! He's dead! The last starfighter is dead!
Like, well, I think of it as like a telephone call. So if someone's on the other line of the telephone and then it just cuts out, not because they died, but because it's bad reception, then what would you like be in the middle? Like, yeah, I went to go and see the last starfighter and then it just cuts and you don't get the opinion and it just sort of like cuts out. I see it as like a phone call, not ticker tape. I mean, I don't see it as like a text.
I get it. It's dumb, but I get it. I get it. It's dumb. Okay. It's dumb.
The important point is that it's a communication and it gets cut off halfway through. So that way when we go to the wood people are all like, the wood alien people are all like, oh, what is this about the last starfighter? And that's when Xur comes out and is like, he's dead.
Xur, you impotent douchebag. You don't know. But then we cut back to Maggie and you know what she says into the sky, which makes perfect sense.
Not just yet.
Oh, no.
We do. Okay, so like between everything with Beta and Maggie, we flip pretty consistently between Beta and Maggie and Alex and Gurg. And at this point, Alex has formed a plan that is pretty much like, you know, if we got from behind the communication ship, then all of the other ships would go ahead and get knocked out. We didn't talk about this yet. And that's when Gurg is like, oh, that's a great plan. Too bad there aren't any other starfighters to carry it out.
Maybe there
I'm
is.
So glad they have reverse psychology in space.
Greg, you jerk.
Oh, he also like talks about like, oh, yes, these are my 63 children and my wifeoid. And I wrote down wifeoid like that's like up there
Oh, my gosh. I was trying to figure out that note. I was like, wife old. What is that? What is wife old? I wrote down wifeoid and my 6,000 children like,
And it, you know, the first thing that it reminded me of?
Tell me.
Femoid.
What's a Femoid?
Femoid.
Femoid. What's that from?
Okay, so I only know this in through cultural osmosis about incels. So if there are any people who identify as incels and they're listening to this podcast, please don't come over and threaten me with bodily harm.
What jerk identifies?
Anyways, it's a term that incels will use to dehumanize women so they don't have to relate to women as though they are human beings.
I don't like when persons refer to other persons as female. Because it dehumanizes a person. Like, yes, gendered pronouns, ba-na-na-na-na, right? But, like, if I'm just, like, that female over there, right? Sounds like a nature documentary telling me about how so many orangutans have died, you know?
Right. I do sometimes use the terms male and female in, like, a collective sense, but not as, like, an individual sense.
No. If you were, like, you know, my co-host Naomi, that female, I'd be like,
ew.
Yeah.
Also, I wouldn't like point at someone and be like, that male or that female. I would say that person.
Yes. Or use their pronoun. Like, right. Not their gender pronoun, but you'd be like, hey, look at Lydia over there.
Mm-hmm. Or like if you know their name. Yeah.
Yeah. I love the meme that's just like, I don't have preferred pronouns. Don't refer to me.
Don't refer to me at all.
Like, I will fight to the death for yours, but I don't give a shit. About mine.
Mm-hmm.
That's just who I am as a person.
Right.
I'm a bit like Beta Alex.
Right. And so part of the progress between Alex and Gurg is that they're kind of like waiting in this rock and then they start seeing the bad ships kind of float over the rock, which is like, why are they over there at that specific asteroid? I don't know. I don't care. That's not the point. This goes ahead and means that Alex can facilitate his plan of, you know, waiting until everyone passes through the frontier and then they can get behind the bad ship. And I believe that he like goes into like the shoot 'em ups. He disables the communication ship, and then he goes ahead and he starts like firing at all of the bad guys' ships until they all get destroyed. And then at some point, I think it's when he's about to use... No, I don't think it's when he's about to use Death Blossom, but we do see the Death Blossom weapon go off.
Wait, hold on a second. Hold on a second. Okay, so we went from ticker tape. She then turns to the sky and says, I love you, Alex Rogan.
But does she do that? Like, she I thought she does that like somewhere in the battle because it's really like off-putting.
It's
like,
really... Well, it's dumb.
Yeah, and it doesn't
matter. And she does it for no reason.
Yeah.
She watches... Who I assume that if, I mean, if I was in her place, I'd be like, huh, my high school now turned college boyfriend is having a psychotic break and he's driven into a guy I saw standing by the side of the road. And then she turns around and she looks up to the sky and says, I love you, Alex Rogan, which I would never do.
Okay, go ahead, finish your
thought. Okay, but then we cut back to escape unit with Scepter guy.
Right, because like the command ship is about to get destroyed. So that's why I think it's when he's about to destroy the command ship that Maggie goes ahead and says that just randomly out in the sky of nowhere.
Okay, but guy with scepter.
Zer.
He doesn't deserve a name. He escapes with scepter in an escape pod, never to be seen again, never referred to again. Yeah. And that's when my notes are like, Death Blossom, Death Blossom. That's my roller derby name.
It does look like a wild ride because it looks like one of those like gyro chairs that you just sit in and then you go like 360.
Okay. So here's the thing about being a nearly 6 foot tall lady. I got tall real fast. And before I was emotionally ready, I was physically ready to go on a lot of amusement park rides. So let's go to the Seattle Science Center. My mother has three small children, maybe other children attached. Perhaps Jamie, perhaps a number of other cousins. She only has two hands. She cannot keep eyes on us at all the times. And also, I'm pretty well behaved most of the time. I remember that I had a bag of barbecue chips and there was a line. And I've been taught since an early age, if there's a line, it's probably pretty good, right? Still believe it. I got in line and I remember getting to the front of the line. And they're like, we need everything from your pockets. And I was like, son, I don't have anything in my pockets except this quarter bag of chips left that I ate while standing in line. So I put my bag of chips in the basket. And my mom relates to me looking up from like, and it was stuffed in there. This is well pre-COVID. This is like early 90s, like 91. There were hundreds of people in this room. She says, I looked up and there you were, like, 7 year old, like climbing into a gyro machine, and there was no one there to say anything. And so they like, they strap your waist and they tell you to hold these bars. And they're like, hey, if you're going to puke, tell us. And then they hit the button and then you just gyro, which is like round and round and then up and down and like backwards and forwards. And mom was like, I couldn't do anything. You were already in the machine. And then I got off and I was like, ooh. And I grabbed my potato chips and mom, and they were, and they cheered. Like they cheered because here's the thing about being socially inept. Like I was the youngest person who had ever gotten on the machine because I am largely portioned and they didn't know. I probably wasn't even eight. She was like, she's six. She's six. And there was no consent form. I just did it.
Well, this would have still been like in the 80s, right?
Maybe.
Because
I was 83. So if I was seven, it was 89.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 90.
Yeah. But early 90s was essentially like the 80s.
I was well
real.
Young. Like who cheers for anyone on a gyro chair? Even this Alex in this movie.
Yeah.
But also if I am required to do acting in the future, I would like to be sitting down in a gyro chair.
Okay. So that's Death Blossom, but there's still one more ship. So Death Blossom is just sort of like this whole like storing up power and then shooting out all of these different lasers because they've like coordinated when like the gun's like gonna like target and then shoot and then move on to the next target. So it's like all this like, it's real pretty. It's real pretty. And it looks like a fun ride.
Yeah, because he gyros. That's the whole point of this whole story is that he's shooting... He's shooting the whole ship gyros, which means Grig is in there too. Grig is in there too. And they're like, like that firecracker you set off as a kid, right?
Mm-hmm. But there's still one more ship left. It's the command ship. And that's when it's like, just ram into them. But they can't move because they lost all of their power because Death Blossom took it all out of the ship. And so what I thought was interesting is that the command ship is rushing forward, ramming them. And we just saw someone take their vehicle and ram it in to another thing for the enemy.
That was Beta.
Beta with the truck. Ramming it into the
Beta.
Yeah.
Beta.
But that's what I thought was interesting is they do take moments to kind of like show parallels between two different moments in this movie. So, but they get there, they get the energy collated enough for them to sort of like zoop out of there.
Okay, so riddle me this, Lydia Malcolm.
All right.
Woman whomst I love. Jen McQuaid, woman whomst I love.
Have loved, can confirm.
Was that ship proportional to that moon?
Okay, so before I answer your question, I need to preface for the people who are listening who haven't seen the movie.
Hmm.
So basically, the ship goes full force and the last gunship goes up and he swings.
The gunship. Yeah.
So it goes back. It, like they zoop out of there and then they pluck around and then they're going to like do and then they like that's when it blows up. And what is it? The second in command is like, what do we do, commander? And the commander just looks at him and says, we die. And that's when the ship goes into the moon and it crashes. And no, Naomi, that looked like a very large ship. To a moon that was about the size of a ship. And that moon is not, that moon is unfazed.
The moon does not care about the size of the ship, but.
I'm sorry. Just...
Oh, I did.
An unfazed moon. Okay. Really now, got me for you. Some reason.
I'm with you. The moon that gets hit by the ship is only. I don't know about you, but I have been decked a couple times. Not like full on fight, but like if something the third of a size of you takes a whole leap at you, you get not necessarily wrecked, but you get moved.
You're very accurate. You're very accurate. In science, an object in motion stays in motion, but you have to hit that object with enough force. And it looks like that with the momentum of the ship, the size of the ship, and the fact that the moon isn't like doing anything in the opposite direction that's going to hit the like if the moon was heading towards the ship at a lot more velocity than what the ship was making, then yeah, I'll be like, okay, because that makes sense that it would be unfazed. Yeah,
the physics is wrong on this scene.
Yeah. Is this where the science breaks down for you?
The science broke down 4.5 parts of this episode ago.
In Centauri's lifeless islets.
No, like even before that. But it doesn't matter because we had like now it's accolades time, right? So Alex makes his way back to the ship and then they're like, Grig is like, good job, good job. And everybody's like, good job, good job. Everybody's cheering. Everybody's like excited. More people are alive than were dead before.
The president has just come back from. Like,
he yeeted himself out of there as soon as he had any chance to, right?
And then as soon as the actual danger was, not there anymore, he's like, I'll go ahead and come back in here to go ahead and play, role without having to answer for the consequences of being a shit parent.
So a movie that Jen and I both, maybe just me, but Jen was there. A love is Kung Pao Enter the Fist.
I know.
It's the reason why we say, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Here's a quote. So when Centauri returns, my notes just go, just because you go, doesn't mean you are dead. So you see Alex and this guy's just like, hey, Alex. And he's like, who are you? Who the hell are you? And he goes, he rubs his face like he do with his little face rag, a la opposite Hedwig. And he's just like, Centauri, I was just in hibernation until, my body repaired itself. And it's like, you're not dead and you're a named character. Awesome. Dumb. Here, wait, listen for me to turn to my last page of notes because we've been here for 3 months. Beautiful.
So at that point, they're all like, you're going to come and rebuild the starfighter for us. You're going to come and rebuild the starfighter for us. And Alex is just like, yeah, rebuild. And he's like, obviously pensive about something. And then we cut to Maggie, who's waiting. And then we're cutting back to Maggie at night. She's walking back to the trailer park. And then we see all these people about like, where is Alex? Where is Alex? And then Mr. Chad Bro's all like, where is Alex? He took my truck.
Sorry, Chad. Your truck is foobar.
I think he was actually called Chad. I can't remember, though.
I don't care. He's a throwawayable character.
In this podcast, his name is Chad.
Chad.
And so Maggie comes.
Chaz.
Yeah.
He could be easily a Chaz.
Yeah. And so Maggie, like, you know, is coming. She's, like, coming close to the people. And she's about to tell him that, you know, like, something weird is going on. The guy who was playing Alex, you know, she's thinking about how she's supposed to tell her family and friends that someone that they love and thought was here may not actually be here. He may have been an alien, but if he wasn't, then he just totally killed himself. And so she's about to make all of these.
She's about to confess everything, but then for like the third time in the film.
Ominous wind.
As opposed to ominous wind, which is beautiful. Mm-hmm. I wrote wind confusion because the wind comes up and they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
You could also call it like the plot just sort of like blows itself in.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Okay. So then everybody's like, what's going on? And then kid brother like heads up the stairs in front of everyone. And then them as the community, and let's not discount this trailer park community.
Right. Something that Lewis says is we're being invaded. And that's why he heads up the stairs.
Yeah. But like they all head up the stairs. It's very cute. That only happens for us on like Christmas morning sometimes, you know, not this last year. Pandemic. But like, I don't know if you, I don't think I've ever like headed to somewhere en masse. Like we've exited en masse, but never been like, we need to go north together and then like left the house and like walked the same way.
Right. Like the next 20 years are going to be this place of like, I don't know if I want to get around that group of people because there's like more than two people there.
I gotta tell you, I don't see me not wearing a mask for a long time.
Right. Especially like going to the store. But they all congregate on the steps and they head up to where the main road is, where we see, you know, like this like fog machine and these bright lights coming down. It's all very like UFOs.
Okay, so all the guys, including Otis, who's the most important, everyone else is garbage, gather under the awning of the Snack Shack. Original The Last Starfighter
right.
game machine is where
the game machine is, yeah.
Okay. Maggie, who is a genius, certainly an IQ over 175, she said sarcastically into her podcast as if her IQ exceeded 140. She just walks up to an alien spacecraft. The thing looks like a weird EpiPen descending from the sky. And then she's just like, I'm going to walk towards that right now.
Right.
It's better than a big spirally poop descending from the sky.
Okay, first of all, it is a vertical spaceship and it does look like a poop. And I will stand by that description until I die.
That looks like a very painful turd, though, to pass. I mean, it's all jaggedy and it's got like, you know, it's wide and then it's very narrow. I'm just saying, like, that's the poop that you would see after like a week of constipation.
You're not wrong. So then, dude descends on the descending now the platform.
Elevator. Yeah. And like, they kind of look at each other and then he's like, hey, Mags, because that's like her nickname. And she's like, are you really Alex? Like the real Alex?
Well, the thing is, you see him with the helmet on, but not the faceplate down. And this is the first time you see him with the faceplate down. And then you're like, oh, right. He never has it down because it fogs up. Because, honey, I will tell you, as a glasses wearer, wearing a mask is going to fog your glasses.
Correct.
And it's garbage. And it's who we have, not who, but what we have to deal with. And so, like, of course it's never down. Maggie runs up to Alex and is just like, this is the culmination of who I am as a person and a character, and all I've ever needed was a man, right?
It's the 80s, yeah.
She turns to her grandma, who is more independent than we've ever given her credit for. She goes, Granny, put away that shotgun.
Because she's the only one with a weapon.
Yeah, but like, duh. Like, yeah. Duh.
Yeah.
So then he's like, come away to the stars with me. She's like, cool, 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 tight, tight, tight. And then they like kiss.
Well, and isn't there like a moment where he introduces Grig to everybody?
Yes, and Grig goes down and he's like, oh, you're the famous...
Lewis.
And Lewis is like, I'm famous! Oh my God! And Will Wheaton is there somehow and we haven't been able to figure out which one is him.
But I think that it was Will Wheaton was there and then they cut him out of the film.
I'm fine with that. Come at me, Will Wheaton.
Beta was too popular, I think, and so they added extra scenes from Beta and they had to take Will Wheaton out.
Here's my problem at the very end of the film, as like she's given permission to go by her grandmother. They ascend into the ship and they shoot off into the stars so he can be the last starfighter who trains other starfighters. So he's no longer the last starfighter, and that doesn't make any bloody fucking sense.
Although it's kind of like, okay, so I'm training you, all right? So what should it do is press left, up, up, down, A, B.
Up, up, down, left, right,
B, A, select start.
Yeah. Do not Konami at me.
Don't Konami at me?
Don't Konami at me. Yeah. Did you know Naomi Catherine is like, so Naomi K is Konami, but like wrong? I've loved that. It doesn't mean anything. I'm not very good at video games. Here's my problem with the end of the film. It is not my shocked and applaud moment. They have never boned, but he's taking her to space.
Okay.
The end.
What I like at the end is the fact that the camera is focused on Lewis. Everybody else is waving by to Alex and everything, but he's like, I'm going to go ahead and start playing this game because it means something. And he pulls up this little like stool and he's like standing on it and like you get this like fog behind him.
You've been recruited by the whatever the to do a thing in space.
But there's all this like silhouette of the arcade and
you
of Lewis.
You are the last starfighter.
And then he's like, wow! And then it pans up to the neon light for the Starlight Starbright. And then we get the roll of credits. And I'm like, this is a really good, like, I love the ending.
Of the endings that we've had thus far, it's one of the best.
It feels like a nice complete ending.
It does. It's fully rounded because you're like, ah, yes, maybe Lewis will be in the stars someday pretending to be a protector.
Right.
Lewis continued to have many other adventures.
Lewis.
But that's another story.
In 2005, Lewis finally got diagnosed and medicated for whatever the hell was going wrong with
Lewis. My brother's in space! So was his girlfriend!
Okay, so like the realistic side of this story is that Alex had a mental breakdown when he couldn't get a loan for like a fancy college and he like went suicidal.
When Otis was like, it all started right. Oh, when he's in the crowd, he goes, remember, guys, it all started right here. Yeah. This is where Alex went into space.
Yeah. But
I was like, oh, Otis, no. This is where all of you were rid of that poor psychotic soul.
Like, this is where it all kind of started going wrong for Alex. He was always just a little bit unstable and he kept always playing video games and he was going to have an outlet. He had a bright future, but he just couldn't get that college loan. And then he just, without the proper mental health resources, he ultimately committed suicide.
No! You made it super dark.
I know I did. And then Lewis is like, my brother's in space. My brother's in space.
He's just walking up to people at the Circle K and saying, I'm a beta unit, you know.
Hey, Jen, you got any Sean facts to round us out at the bottom?
Yes, I certainly do. Gene Siskel included this film on the list of his guilty pleasures. I don't know if we want to know of any other guilty pleasures of Gene Siskel.
That's super gross. I do not.
But he described it as a Star Wars ripoff, but the best one. There also, you know, we finished off the rest of the movie, but there is something in the credits that deserves discussion. Do either of you know what I might be referencing in the credits?
No, I have no freaking clue.
Is that the note at the end that says, read the Berkeley book?
Well, there actually was a book, but it also said, play the video game. And there never was a video game of the movie based on how you play a video game to go to space.
I love how angry you are about that, Jen.
I love that you're going to have to toggle your own volume for once on that.
There were several attempts at making other old video games that didn't pass the mustard into just renaming it The Last Starfighter and releasing it. Atari had cabinets ready, but Atari, after, also I would mention, after the release of E.T. the Extraterrestrial, decided, no, this particular movie will not make enough money for us to get a return on it.
And then they made a video game that they put into a hole in the desert.
Yeah.
Terrible.
That's the lesson here. Don't make bad video games that you end up having to scrap and put into the Mexican desert. But also, there is a freeware version of this video game that Sean has let us know about, because if we, you know, sometime down the road decide that we're going to provide video along with this podcast, he has recommended that maybe we play this video game on like a Twitch stream or something like that.
We should Twitch. I'm very bad at video games. It would be very funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a Twitch channel would be great. Even if we're not playing video games, we could just be chatting.
Oh, 100% would do. Yeah. Would do. I would find that hilarious.
Last and finally, there have been several attempts, specifically in 2008 and in 2020, for scripts and sequels for this movie. The big difficulty with being able to continue on with this movie in either a sequel or a reboot is that different agencies owned the rights to either doing a reboot or doing a sequel. But according to what we've got in 2020, there may be an actual reboot / sequel. it's kind of both.
Who would you cast as Alex?
Oh, like nowadays. Timothée Chalamet? Because he's going to be in Dune and everything. So.
Yeah, Timothée Chalamet.
Yeet, yeet, skirt, skirt. That's my TikTok reference for the episode.
Is it buzzing? Is it buzzing? She. I don't understand how culture works. Okay, here's where I want to go, because we are very much towards the end of all of this. And Jen, thank you so much for editing. Do you want to start with our shocked or our applauds?
Okay, so let's see. Did we do our shocked moments last? I think we did our applaud moments last time, so we should do our shocked moments this time.
Shocked first?
Yeah.
Okay, mine are both conspiracy theories.
Yes.
So, Hoomst wants to go first.
I don't think I have a shocked moment, so it's going to take me some time. So
well, then let me tell you.
Thank you.
Grig planned it all, and that is my shocked moment. He says to the camera, to us through the video being relayed to Alex, it doesn't matter. He goes, I always wanted to fight a battle against all odds. So maybe he saw a dude go with the plastic explosives. Maybe he saw all of this coup starting to happen. Maybe he knew about Zurg or whatever his face is named, giant forehead, Benjamin Franklin man. Like, it don't matter. I think he saw it coming. He was like, I got more forehead than you. I don't care. I'm going to let this all happen. And then I will be able to fight a battle against all odds. And then, oh, he has access to the one spaceship that survived everything blowing to No, Grig. Maybe it's a bit are you there to help the last starfighter? Oh, Greg, are you there to be the only alien ambassador to the Americas of the planet Earth? Oh, Greg, you seem a lot of super important right now. But you weren't. And you wanted it. But now you are. So you're garbage. I don't care if you look like a Goomba from one of the best movies ever made. You don't win, Greg. Greg? 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 Oh, now you're at the frontier when you just mentioned it like a second ago? Greg, I don't think you have the best interests of the mission at heart. Greg?
Wow, you're really heated up about this.
I'm mad about it is what I am. And I think I kind of can't help but love him.
Mm-hmm.
Cannot help but love him. But he may be the villain. The end.
Mine doesn't have to do with any specific characters in the movie. It's more like the fact that this has just kind of been overlooked through cultural osmosis. This is like as a culture. This isn't a movie that's talked about a lot. And to me, that seems like a travesty, because like a lot of people will talk about Tron. I mean, Tron Legacy is a sequel. Saw that face. Jen just made a face.
She looked like she bit a lemon real hard and then made a pass at it, and it's still in her face hole.
Yeah, but that movie is a reboot from Tron, and this movie is exactly like Tron on so many levels, but is so much better. Anybody can come and fight me, and I will win that argument. Why? Because I am right. That's why. So, like, I just feel like this is kind of shafted by like nerd / geek culture, because it's just kind of overlooked. I did not hear about The Last Starfighter until we did it for the podcast, and I thought it was a different movie that it wasn't.
You know, I don't think I really knew either. And I would and will. I will at some vaccinated point high five Sean for suggesting this.
Right. Because it was a great decision. I really enjoyed this movie. It's a great movie. I wish that more people talked about it.
I don't feel like I've grown because of it.
Oh, no, no. But this has like nothing. This is a like slightly more progressive than most 80s like sci-fi films, like by a wide margin.
Yes.
And like, why is it not talked about nearly as much?
I don't know either. Jen, what is your shocked moment?
I have a really difficult time laying down any dirt for this movie just because it's part of my childhood. I would probably mention that having seen Enemy Mine only once or twice as a little kid, that I thought that Louis Gossett Jr. had played Grig, but it was a white guy underneath that all of that makeup. And I thought there could have been. Because of that skin color, it seemed a little awkward maybe that there was a white guy underneath it. But it could have been anybody under space makeup. That's fine with me. I really thought it was Louis Gossett Jr. under there because Louis Gossett Jr. actually played an alien in Alien Mind. That's where.
Are you referring to Grig?
Grig, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
There could have been more, especially having such a history of Star Trek before this movie came out. There really could have been more representation in alien life.
There's that one scene when they're all getting their like initial initiation. I think saying initial initiation is maybe redundant, but like that's where you see the greatest concentration of various aliens. And then to go back to like Fifth Element or even Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, like you see a greater representation there. It's just because I think that they spend more time. Like it's not about one guy. It's about the universe that they're in, you know? Like the Fifth Element is literally not human, although she looks human.
But I will still stand by my opinion that this is less racist than some of the Star Wars movies, especially with the race that was kind of guarding the border in Episode One, and Lando's best friend that's fighting alongside him in Return of the Jedi. There are a couple of things in Star Wars culture where it's kind of like, or in the Sand People, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Where Lucas is kind of like, well, what would this race look like if it was a space people? And that seems pretty wrong.
What is a culture that the Americans are not super familiar with? And then we'll just take a samurai costume and make it into Darth Vader.
Right.
Like, huh? Once you learn that fact, you can't unsee it.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I appreciate all of our shocked moments. Let's launch straight into our applaud moments. Let's just chomp off that bit. What's going on?
All right. I'll go ahead and start.
Do it.
It's actually kind of like jumping off of your shocked moment. Mine are a couple of characters. And it's mostly, it's Beta and
we're going to have the same shock applaud moment.
Fine. I will go with Xur because he is over the top. He is campy as all get out. And I want to see him in the second one with that fabulous scepter of his. And I want him to be just as campy in the second one. I want him to laugh maniacally because
more
he was such on the verge of doing that in this movie.
More than knife microphone from Phantom of the Paradise.
That's a hard one because that knife microphone is like, it literally has two functions. The scepter, you know, doesn't really have much in the way of
a function.
It's
got that extendy bit.
It does, but that's all that it really does. I mean, it's got some spikes on it, but
if there had been a sequel, I want to know what that scepter do. What's the scepter do?
Yeah, because
hey girl.
Because as he's like fleeing.
He takes the only thing he takes with him.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Like maybe it's like a religious artifact for the people and he like has more of a claim if he has it. And like that's the whole plot of the second one is they try and take the scepter from him. And then he like, you know, does that whole like shoon thing with the knife. And then he actually like comes to something in the end.
What if he stands really close to somebody, hits the button and it stabs them in the gut and they all think it's magic?
Oh, yeah. So your applaud moment.
Mine specifically is Beta.
Good for you.
I mean, like, and you would have gone there.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. What if we flipped the script, literally flipped the script, and it was 95% Beta and only 5% Alex?
I would love it.
This is why the people who, whatchamacallit, The people who watch it and then give opinions, and the people...
Critics?
No. The people who are, like, in groups who, like, get reviewed by other people who are, like, deciding the thing.
The people who screen tested it?
Yeah, like, the screen test audience. The test audiences. Sorry, that was a very simple thing. My brain forgot. Okay, but, like, the test audiences who are, like... Beta's kind of amazing. Like, yeah, he is. Because it is more interesting to see someone assimilate into your culture because you have a basis of knowledge and he does not. Like, he doesn't know how to make out with a teenager. I, who once was a teenager, didn't know how to make out with teenagers. So that stuff is funny, right? But to watch someone of yourself, kind-ish, try to assimilate into other cultures, like, that is a stickier subject, and I don't think they communicated that as well. Like, if he had to eat the food or experience the culture of the various different aliens around him, that could have been more interesting and has been dealt with in more interesting ways since this movie came out, if that makes sense. Like in Serenity or half a dozen other shows, I was thinking of this one sci-fi that Jen and I watched together, whose name escapes me, but had like neo-Catholics in it. It's one of Madeline's and Sean, I think they liked the series, at least initially. Like, watching how cultures have assimilated, or we've assimilated to other cultures, is very interesting, especially over vast amounts of time. But, like, you can't get that in this movie. You cannot get this movie. This movie is cotton candy. It will dissolve when it hits water. We can't have that here. But watching someone else come into a culture we already know as American white people, unfortunate. Because it could be tastier than that. But it is what it is. Let's take our mayonnaise freaking Wonder Bread sandwich and know it for what it is. Like, that's pretty funny. Like, the oh no part. Like, when his girlfriend tries to make out with him. Like, it's awkward. And his interactions with his little brother. Awkward. But it all makes sense to us from this perspective. And I would 100% trade this movie to watch Beta beginning to end.
I feel like if this movie was a TV show, there would be one entire episode that was Beta-centric, and it would be all about him assimilating and trying to figure things out. And then it would probably end with his death, and everybody would stop watching the show and they would just rewatch that one episode.
Can we just hand everything we love to Netflix and then let them turn it into a series?
I think so, but we'd have to convince them that it would be profitable.
Everything Netflix does right now is profitable.
Okay.
Like, take things we love, make it more than six parts, an hour a piece. Let me chew on every freaking bone.
So there's a show out that's has Alan Tudyk, and it's called Resident Alien.
Oh, no. Is that one of my current favorites?
Are you watching that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. Because I haven't watched it. Can you stream it somewhere? Is it probably on?
Jen, why are we watching it?
We're currently watching it on demand.
Yeah.
Through our cable provider.
Right. That's what I figured. So I'd probably have to wait. But that seems like right up this alley, because there's like a specific term that deals with like coming into a different culture. And I don't want to say it's like culture shock, but it's like trying to assimilate. I don't know. I'm not
like appropriation. You're not talking about a negative context where you're taking something that doesn't belong to you and making it yours.
Right.
It's like Star Wars might have done with a number of different cultures.
Correct. I'm talking about when people I guess cultural dissonance would be similar to it. But I think there's like a specific term where, you know, people are trying to like fit into a culture and it doesn't quite work. And that's where the comedy is.
Yeah. But yeah. I don't hate that, as long as we're not making fun of people.
Right. It's more about like how the individual is actually working and trying to like assimilate themselves into the culture, and there's a specific term that deals with that.
I had a friend who is American but is descendant Korean, and I was like, hey, guess what? And she's like, what? And I was like, I want to go visit Korea because I love the culture, I love the food especially, but I want to go before I know too much. I want to go when they're like, oh, you eat really good, instead of me interpreting that as you're a very fat person, and oh, you know how to use chopsticks really well, when I'm like, yeah, it's my preferred like utensil. Hey, what's up? I want to go when I'm ignorant enough that everything that is said to me is kind of positive, as opposed to like me going in there being like, you eat really good, don't you? You know, like, oh, you're really good at them chopsticks, aren't you? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want tone. I don't need tone. I got my own tone. But that being said, like, I think people, as long as they're going with good grace, like into other cultures, is pretty entertaining nearly every time. And it's least offensive when it's alien.
Right.
Hey, Jen, what's your applaud moment?
This movie will always be a part of me. I know it shouldn't be applaudable just because it's a part of childhood, but there's something growing up with this movie that and rediscovering it later. If I had told myself when I was, well, I was really probably about 4 or 5 when I actually saw this movie, that I would be reviewing this movie for potentially anybody that wanted to hear it, that would be amazing to me. And I don't know what I would say as a 4 or 5 year old about this movie, but I do appreciate that this movie came out in sequence right after Tron to sort of facilitate to the general public that computer graphics can be usable in film. In fact, these were like 3,000 by, you know, several thousand pixels rendered. And at the time, that was ginormous in scope. And it did save on the budget, but it also, after Tron, reinforced the fact that this is a viable way to produce media. We will have a Toy Story in 1995 because this movie came out in 1984. Toy Story might have come out, but it would have been later if we hadn't had several parts of our history reinforced by the success of this film. And whether or not it's been forgotten, that's fine. Sean Fax notes that these were created on the Cray XMP computer, but what I found online was that it is actually written in the only language at the time that would allow for vector graphics, which was Fortran. And you will only find Fortran written really on AS400 servers. Forgive me that I know that kind of thing.
I don't know what that means.
Huge enterprises use Fortran for storing an incredibly large amount of data and being able to sort and, you know, consume all of that stuff. It's a language that has really been around since like the early 70s and has been such a success in how it operates that you will still find this in servers being written in this language.
That's
even
amazing.
Though
amazing. What a very specific knowledge.
You might even call me a geek about coding.
Yeah,
even though
you're a nerd about editing and audio.
Gif.
I'm a nerd in that I have a very small amount of knowledge about a lot of different things, which makes me a good addition to be able to explain Sean Fax in this format.
Mm-hmm. Also, you're very cute.
Also, I'm very cute.
Yeah, you are.
Okay. Hey, applauders. Look at you. We're at the end of April now.
Oh, yeah, it is the end of April, isn't it?
I know it's been a while, but hey, happy birthday, Sean.
Happy birthday. Thank you for this pick. It was great.
Can't wait for Madeline's pick next month. And so if you appreciate this movie or the next movie, stick around for Shock Talk, which is the podcast review you didn't know that you didn't need. They're just an adorable couple with just beautiful insights. I think they're so funny.
I do. I really love it.
Yeah.
It gets more downloads than our podcast, so.
I'm super down. Like, if we get rid of Shocked and Applaud and only kept Shock Talk, like, super down. I would talk for 4 hours a month just to hear their 1 hour or less a month anyways.
Yeah.
Sean's going to start a new podcast soon, and we're going to promo them for sure.
Oh, nice. What's it going to be about?
I don't remember. No, I do remember. I just forget the name. Okay, so what they're going to do is, and hey, feel free to text Sean about this to make sure it's okay or not. But they have like top 100 best movies of all time and then like top lowest 100 movies of all time. And then they take one from the top and one from the bottom and they talk about them for one podcast.
Also cults. So it's the good, the bad, and the ugly, essentially.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty amazing because they're going to be more extensive. And obviously Sean with his like degrees in history is just he can just speak so much into the culture of movies. And when I met him, he worked at a video store, and it was amazing to know somebody who worked where we all wanted to live. So hey, applauders, you're very good looking,
very attractive,
you're very smart, more than even attractive, which is impressive.
Yeah, you would be able to get into a Gunstar and figure it out just by learning how to play the video game.
You would, without knowledge of human social interaction, be able to maybe get it on with a random girl named Maggie. 100%. Quick fact check. If you had to make out with Alex or Beta Alex, who would you make out with?
Beta. But I don't know if he'd make out with me.
He would.
Okay.
He wouldn't know why your tongue went in his ear, but then he might scream at first, but then he'd be into it.
I'd go with Alex, but I'd be thinking of Beta.
Red Dwarf reference. Which makes me think I'll just have both. Okay, so, hey, applauders. I know I've said that like 3 times now. You're doing a great job. Stick with it. It's going to get better. Get vaccinated. And someone can second me on that.
Second.
Fantastic. We've all agreed about it. It's only applaudable. It's not shocktable.
Yeah.
So thanks for listening to April's episode. We will see you in May.
Yes, you can find us online at shockedandapplaud.com. If you click that little heart icon at the top right of our homepage, you can also be presented with our great option of sponsoring us through patreon.com. For $1 a month, you can get access to all currently 24 episodes of our back catalog as unbleeped and provided to you in their original format as we intended. We can also be reached at Facebook at Shocked and Applaud and Twitter at Shocked Applaud. That is also our Instagram tag. And there may be additional details at the end for me to provide to you. But for now, I just want to say thank you for listening. This is Jen McQuaid.
This is Naomi McQuaid.
And this is Lydia Malcolm, who is currently playing with Pitch.
And this is Shocked and Applaud. Thank you so much for listening.
Congratulations on your amazing win, Applauder. We've now concluded our review of 1984's The Last Starfighter. Thank you for joining us through every bank, dive, and barrel roll of our walkthrough and Shocked and Applaudable moments. Looking for even more fun retro throwbacks to fill out your week? All 80s Movie Podcast just released their review of 1984's Splash. And Verbal Diorama recently reviewed 1987's Dirty Dancing. Check out this episode's description for links to these fabulous shows. Hey, this is your audio engineer and Griggs 4,257th Griggling, Jen. Did you know that Shocked and Applaud has been a guest on several other podcasts, including I Drink Your Podcast, Cinema Recall, Collateral Cinema, The Coolest Chronicles, and soon on Reels of Justice? If you have a show and would like to geek out over a favorite film, we're currently scheduling. Email us at shockedandapplaud@gmail.com or message us on Twitter at shockedapplaud. April may be nearly over, but we'll have another great episode of Shock Talk with Sean and Madeline to you soon. And if sci-fi isn't your thing, we'll finally be swinging into a different genre from Madeline's first movie recommendation in May. Be sure to subscribe to the show so you get notified as soon as we release. Until next time, may the luck of the seven pillars of Gulu be with you at all times. From Shocked and Applaud, thank you for patroning the peculiar.
Yay! Sorry about those cat noises.
Never be apologetic about cat noises. I've always wanted to fight against a cat at all odds.
I've never played fetch with a cat.
Really?
No.
She loves it. Oh my gosh.